Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You may be seated. Look down at your Bible while you're taking your seat, if you will, just before we pray. We've been going through this text, working our way up to verse number 2, and we've noticed already the inspiration that the writer gives to us concerning the cloud of witnesses. There are a number of those named in chapter number 11. 19 characters mentioned specifically from verse number 4 all the way to verse number 40, and then a number of those that were not mentioned. And then last week we were dealing with the fact that God wants us to have a process of elimination in our life whereby we lay aside every weight, not just some weights, but every weight that would impede our progress in the race, and lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. And then Paul tells us here that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. That is, God wants you and I to be involved in this thing of the Christian race. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow now, we want to say thank you for the good day. Thank you for answering prayer on behalf of our church family. And I do pray, Lord, even for others tonight that still stand in need of prayer as we come together tonight. Thank you for those that were able to be here in this service. I pray now that you'd minister to them through the scriptures and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd open our eyes and allow us to understand what this passage has to say to us. And Lord, nourish us up in the words of faith. And God, strengthen our faith tonight and allow it to grow exceedingly, that we might exercise faith and patience in the race that is set before us. I pray that you'd help us in Christian responsibility, that we'll not be neglectful or unfaithful in our Christian responsibility, but recognize how important everyday Christian responsibility really is. Help us to give Jesus the glory for all that he does here tonight in our hearts and in our lives. And we'll thank you, God, for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you look down at this phrase we're dealing with tonight, it's the last one in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where the Bible said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here, as you go through the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that this phrase, let us, is found 13 times throughout the record of this wonderful book in God's Word. And that let us reminds us that the commands of God for God's people are so inclusive that they include everyone and exclude no one. In fact, Christian responsibility is the same for every believer. If it is right and commanded to read the scriptures, then every believer should read the scriptures. If it is right and it is commanded to pray without ceasing and to pray daily as a Christian, then it is right for every believer to pray and their daily responsibilities that come in the Christian life. And you and I are included. Every one of us should recognize that we are included in these commands that are given in God's precious word. Not only are these commands inclusive, but these commands also involve us us in the daily process of living the Christian life. And that daily walk with God is something that you cannot replace that with any other activity. In fact, it's so crucial for you and I to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Now I want us to go through Hebrews for just a minute and pick out some of these "let us" phrases, because these are phrases in the scripture that challenge us as the people of God. Turn back to Hebrews chapter number 4 with me, and let's page our way through these tonight. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And so there's a "let us" phrase in regards to our profession as a child of God. Our testimony as a Christian is very important, so much so that the Bible tells us that we ought to hold fast our profession as a child of God. And then secondly, the other one is right here in verse 16. The scripture said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. And this command involves our praying. That is, prayer is such a daily and important part of the Christian life. The challenge is for you and I tonight to hold fast our profession. The challenge is for you and I to make sure that we are guarding our prayer life, that we are coming boldly at the invitation of Christ to the throne of God's grace and mercy. And then in chapter 6, I believe is the next one we need to emphasize. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." And that word perfection has to do with maturity. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." That is, in our personal growth, the Bible said, "Let us go on." That is, let us move forward from wherever we are, even if it is in the place of infancy, as Paul has dealt with that at the end of chapter 5. So let us go on in personal growth. And then in chapter 10 and verse 22, notice what the Bible said in chapter 10 and verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That is, let us draw near in our personal closeness to God. There is not one person here tonight that does not need to get closer to God than they are at this very moment. Let us, as God's people, draw near in personal closeness. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us go on, Paul said. And then let us draw near. That is, this is one of those calls for closeness in God's holy word. And then in verse 24, the Bible said, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And let us consider one another. That is, we ought to be considerate of each other as the children of God. That is, we ought to be considerate of the Lord's people and of their situation. Then the Bible said in chapter 12, in the text that we've been going through, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us." And that is, we are to deal with personal hindrances, whether they be weights or whether they be sins that are besetting our progress in the Christian life. And the Bible said in the text that we dealt with tonight and are dealing with in Hebrews 12, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That is, God has given every believer a race to run. Thank God there's a path for you and I to pursue. There's There's a prize to press toward. There's a path for us to run in. And there's a prize for us to win as the children of God. And so the Bible said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then in chapter 13, here's what the Bible said in verse number 13. The scripture said, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That is, that Jesus was crucified outside the confines of the city, outside the camp, as it were, was the place when Israel was traveling. They would carry all the refuse outside the city, all of the skins and all of that from the animals that were sacrificed were carried outside the camp. It's a place of scorn and a place of shame and a place of separation. And God wants us to go outside the camp so we can be identified with Christ. Oh, I know it's not popular to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not popular to claim his name and to walk in a holy way. And yet the Bible said, let us go forth to that place of separation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so there's a let us command in regards to praise. Thank God for these challenges tonight that God wants us to be included in and that God wants us to be involved in. Hallelujah for the challenges of the book of Hebrews, so that you and I would be involved in the operation of the race. God has put every one of us into a race, and God has made us competitors, not with each other, but for the prize. Now the necessity of this word us reminds us that you and I are in the family of God. How did we get into the race? Thank God we entered into the race by the great salvation that he brought to us, according to Hebrews chapter number 2. And it reminds us that Jesus is the author and the finisher, thank God, of our salvation. I'm glad Hebrews 5 said that he offered us an eternal salvation. I'm not running so I can be saved. I am running because I already am saved. Salvation is not a reward at the end of the race. It's a gift at the beginning of the race. Hallelujah. And through this great salvation, I got into the divine race of God. And I've been running now for 37 years for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God I'm a contestant. You say, who are you running against? I'm not running against anybody. It's who I'm running for. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm not competing with you. I'm not in a contest with you. I'm not trying to outdo you. Thank God. You say, what are you running for then? I want to cross the finish line. Thank God. I want to be a winner in my Savior's eyes. I want him to be able to crown me and say, well done. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. I praise his name tonight, that the necessity of the race reminds us that you and I got the gift of God's grace and the great salvation that comes to us through the eternal offer of God. Hallelujah. And we got saved and we got into the race. The necessity of it is here and the nature of the race is here. Now the Christian race is not like what the world imagines. It's not even like what a lot of us imagine. The Bible said you and I have to run with patience the race that is set before us. How the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 100-meter dash. In fact, I believe if we would compare it to the scriptures and compare it aright, that it is a distance run. And it is a relay race. It is not a short burst, but it is accomplished over the long haul. And you and I that are Christians are said to be soldiers. And as soldiers, we move into the battle and we face the enemy and we take our stand. And as soldiers, we do that. that. As pilgrims we walk, and as strangers and sojourners, we're passing through this world. Thank God this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And yet as contestants, we are running in the race of life. Thank God, Christian friend, God has exhorted us tonight that you and I might run the race that is set before us. Here's what Paul said about that. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." That is, those Grecian competitors that would do it so they could get a wreath that was made from pine or laurel, and it was a crown that would fade and crumble and rot. But you and I are running the race in such a way that we desire to be a winner at the end, and to receive a crown from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as contestants, we have entered into the race by faith through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are running according to his command and according to his plan. How the Bible said that we are to run the race that is set before us. Now listen carefully. There is a race that is set before every one of us. You and I, as Christian contestants in the divine race, have been given a course to run. And I believe that course becomes apparent to us if we run in the will of God. That is, you and I that are saved have to run on the course and according to the course that God has given us. If we were lined up on that track at the high school tonight and we were supposed to run, if the rules were laid out and the judges said, "All right, it's seven times around. You stay in your lane. You stay in this lane. You stay in this lane." If they fired the starting pistol and you cut across the infield and you took a short cut, they would say immediately, the judges would throw up a flag and they would say, "You are disqualified. You are disqualified because you are not running the course that has been laid out before you." And you and I have been given a course, and that course is laid out for us. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my what? Finished my course." That is, if he knew that he had finished his course, then it must be a course that we can recognize. It must be perceivable. It must be something you and I can understand. We are not just running around and changing lanes and running up into the stands and flittering around in the stadium. Oh no, God has set a course in front of us, and God wants you to stay in your lane. Don't come over into my lane. Don't get in somebody else's lane. Make sure you stay in your lane. Hallelujah. Not only that, the Bible said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, notice what the Apostle Paul said about this in the language of the Scripture. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And what he's talking about is that there was a prediction that he could possibly lose his life if he went to Rome. And he said, "This does not move me." He knew that God had sent him to Rome, and he knew that he desired to finish his course and to stay on track. And not only that, to make sure that he crossed the finish line with joy in his heart. I want to say God has given us a course to run, and that course is laid out for us to run until our life is done. Amen. Not only that, our course is set before us in the Word of God. The Bible said this in Psalm 119. Look with me in Psalm 119 and verse 32. The course that God has set up before us is laid out in the Word of God. The Scripture said in Psalm 119, verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Now, God has laid out the course course for the Christian to run in God's work. Now, don't tell me you're running your race when you keep disobeying the commands of God. Oh, that's like saying the race starts and the man fires the pistol and everybody takes off and they're in their lane. They're running down the track and all of a sudden we see you running up through the bleachers and you go up one aisle and you come down the other and you grab you a thing of popcorn and a big old soda and you say, look at me, I'm running a race. Oh, no, you're not. You're acting like someone that's lost their mind. Oh, God has given us a track and God has given us a course, and that course is found in the Word of God, and God wants us to run the way of His commandments. Every day, Christian responsibility is important every day. Amen. Not only that, not only is this course set before us in the Word of God, but this course is set before us in the world in which we live. Somebody said, I'd like to go live on a deserted island. Well, the Bible said you and I have been saved by grace, ought to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. God has left us in this world to represent Him and to run the race that is before us. Now, oftentimes I hear people say this, preacher, how do I know what God has for me? How do I know God's will for my life? How do I know what steps to take in my race? Well, I want to tell you this, you'll never discover the path of God's providence and the future will of God for your life, such as who you're to marry, what your vocation in life is supposed to be, how to make daily decisions that you won't regret for the rest of your life until you learn to obey the commandments of God that are already apparent in God's Word. Get up every day and make sure sometime during the course of that day you spend time in God's Word. Get up every day and make sure during the course of that day you spend time in holy prayer and you obey God. You tell others about Christ. You try to be a blessing to others. And you maintain a clean and a holy life in an ungodly world. And as you walk in that path of obedience, it will become apparent what God wants you to do. Amen. That's exactly right. In fact, as we obey the principles and commands of Scripture daily, then God's providential plan for our lives becomes apparent. I remember I was a young man and in my 20s, I met my wife and I'd been praying for God to send me a wife. Now, I wasn't looking for some young lady that would come in the church wearing a mini skirt and a tube top on. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for a lady that was going to live a godly life and a person that would live a clean life. And I had waited. I had waited a good while and I began to pray. And I started right after I got saved for God to send me a wife. And she got saved and she was praying for the Lord to send her a mate for her life. And we were both serving the Lord Jesus Christ in our local church. And we were doing what God commanded us to do. We were praying and we were walking with God. And we were taking the gospel to a lost world. Oh, I want to tell you what, hallelujah. God made apparent to us that we should begin a relationship with one another. Why? It's because we were already walking in obedience in the course that God laid out in His Word, in the plan that He left us to walk in the world. That's how it became apparent to our life. The course of God became apparent as we walked obedient to the Lord day by day. Amen. Now, if you're just kind of treating God like the buffet on Sunday, where you say, Lord, I'd like a little bit of this and like a little bit of that. I'd like a little bit of this, but Lord, that prayer thing looks like it's going to be hard to swallow. And all this Bible reading the preacher's been telling us to do, how in the world am I going to keep up with all that? Well, the same way you get on Facebook every day. You get in the book of God every day. And you update your status with the scriptures and you find friends in the Bible, friends like Gaius and friends like Demetrius, and you make the best friends in scripture and you find role models for your life as a child of God. Oh, let it never be said that what Paul said to the church at Galatia, you did run well. Who hath hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Let it never be said that we quit the race or that we backed off or we're sitting on the sidelines and we're not running the race that's set before us. Oh, the race is always before us. Christian friend, there's plenty to do for God. You don't have to look around for a job in the church. There are commands of God to be obeyed. There's a work to be done. Hallelujah. Run the race that God has put before you. Hallelujah. So God has made us a contestant, and God has placed us in the course. And the Bible said that he desires our cooperation in the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run. And that is, I believe that the illustration is implied that the Christian life is a relay race. That is, that you and I are running in our generation. You think about this. You are like David, and if you're obedient, you are serving your generation by the will of God. That is, you as a Christian runner are running in your generation to make sure that the truth is upheld, to make sure that the baton of the race and the baton of truth will be passed on from this generation unto the next generation. That is, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Psalm 145 and verse 4. Many that have gone on before us have already finished their race. Men that have stood in this pulpit that were pastors of days gone by, I think many of them are already in heaven. Is that right? They've already finished their race. They've left the baton of truth for you and I to carry on. And you and I must not drop the baton of truth. We are not here to entertain our community. We are not here to make the world fascinated with the church. We're here to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell the world that his blood still washes whiter than snow, and to tell them that salvation still makes a new creature out of you, and that the peace of God will flood your soul, and that you can live a happy life in Jesus Christ. You and I are to run our stage of the race. Hallelujah. There have been days in my life when I wondered why the Lord did not allow me to be born in the days of the United States of America during the Great Awakening, when men would preach in the open air like George Whitefield, and there would be thousands of people that would gather to hear him in the open air. And in the days when great revivals were breaking out in New England and in other parts, in New York City, a revival, a prayer revival, broke out in days gone by. And they carried the baton of truth, and they outstripped us thus far, and they left that baton of truth with you and I. And you and I are not to be unfaithful to this thing of the truth of God. We are to make sure that we run our leg of the race. And when the time comes for us to lay our bodies in a grave somewhere or exit this race, that we make sure that we left the truth of God with somebody else that can pass on the truth to another generation. Hallelujah. I want to say that God wants us to run our stage of the race. And I believe ours is the last leg of the race. It could be that we're just a few feet from the finish line and we don't even really realize it. Could be that we are there, and I mean the crowd in heaven is on their feet, And those witnesses are saying, run! You're almost home! Run! Run! Oh, I tell you, we ought to stretch it out and we ought to pull from everything we have to stretch toward to the finish line and to finish our course with joy. Oh, Christian friend, let us run! Let us run! Let us run! Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the Bible says if we're going to run, we must realize that our race must be run with patience. In fact, that refers to perseverance, constancy in labor or exertion. Patience is the stamina the runner needs in order to finish the race. Now, a lot of people start out the race and they don't finish the race. That's because you think, the gun fires and they come out, they come off the start block. They've outstripped everybody down the straight stretch and they get in that turn and they come around for their leg of the race and all of a sudden they run out of gas and all the other runners go past and they're trying to get their win because they're not running with patience. The Christian race is not a dash. It is not a sprint. Oh, the Bible teaches us that we've got to pace ourselves with patience and we've got to make sure that we understand that we cannot give up. We got to keep on running and stay with it. Hallelujah. Now I want to say to you tonight that there's many that start the race that never finish the race. And Thomas Edison said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. See, a lot of people think that what it takes to get through life is to have a magnanimous intellect and wonderful talent and all these types of things that make themselves successful in the world. But I want to tell you, that's not what it takes to make it through the race. You know what it takes to get through the race? Perseverance, patience. And you see, at the very moment when your lungs start to burn and your muscles begin to tighten up is the very time when you're going to have to say, I'm not quitting this race. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to leave the track. I'm not sitting down. I'm not giving up. I am going to press through. I'm going to make sure that the enemy does not stop me from crossing the finish line. I'm going to stay with God until I break the tape. I want to feel that crown on my head, and then I want to cast it down at Jesus' feet. I want to run the race that is set before me. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to make sure that I stay in my lane. Amen. A lot of people get their eyes on a Christian that they admire, and they want to try to run the race in their lane. God's already given you a race. You don't run the race in their lane. You run the race God set before you. There are great preachers in this world, and God is using them, and I thank God for that. But God has given me a race to run. And I desire to run the race and finish well and cross the finish line. There are other Christians you may admire, and sometimes people get distracted. They get to looking over in somebody else's lane and say, wow, I'd like to run in that lane. I like to have what they have. I like to do what they do. Oh, Christian friend, there's no place in this world that is so valuable and so wonderful as running the race that God has set before you. So many people today have forgotten the value of running the race that is set before them. In fact, there are some times that we wonder, sometimes are we really accomplishing all that God wants us to accomplish? And then the Lord will save somebody and he'll bring somebody out and he'll do something in their life and we'll start to see a little bit more of how God has put us in the race. I remember one Sunday morning I was on the platform and the choir had sung and there's a man that sat right over here on the front row and he and his wife had foster children in the church I pastored, and he came up on the platform and he took me by the hand. He said, preacher, he said, I don't know what this little boy is going to do today. He said, please be patient with us. I said, I will. I said, but what do you mean? He said, well, he said, he sometimes just burst out crying and said he may do that, and if he does, he said, I'll take him out of the service if he gets to crying uncontrollably. And after the service, we began to talk, and I found out that little boy was about, I think, 7 or 8 years old, a very intelligent young man, but his mama was a drug addict. And every day when he got off the bus and come in the house, she'd say, "Now, you don't go outside. You stay in the house." Well, that's hard for a little boy that's running usually about 100 miles an hour. And, you know, at gust up to about 150. And he wants to go outside. Well, the reason why she didn't want to go outside, because she's going to be peeled out of her head. And she's going to pass out on the couch. And she's afraid that the neighbors would find him down the road wandering around, call DSS and get her locked up. And so one day, after a while, he got antsy, and when she passed out on the couch, he ran outside. He went down the street to play with some other boys that were friends of his, and when she woke up off the couch in her stupor, her drug-induced stupor, she looked around to find him, and he was nowhere to be found. And in a rage, she got in the car, and she went through the neighborhood. When she found him, she had a belt with her that day, and she put the belt around his neck and cinched it up and hooked it to the car and drug him on that street all the way back home. And I said, "Well," when he told me about this little boy's situation, I said, "Well, you and I will begin to pray now that God will save him while he's here in our church under your care." Several weeks went by, and on a Sunday morning, I had preached the gospel, and I looked, and over here they were in the altar. He was in the altar with that little boy named Joshua. And that morning, Joshua asked the Lord to save him. Hallelujah. And Joshua got saved so good that when his preacher would be up preaching, he'd be on the front row saying, "Hey man, preach, preacher, preach." Hallelujah. And I remember, boy, one Sunday morning I was preaching in a big way, and it was quiet. I guess it needed to be. And I come right down by over there where he was at. And he said, "Preach, preacher, amen." Boy, I tell you, I felt a witness on that. God smote my heart and said, "Look what he's done in this little boy's life. Look what he came out of. And look what God has done for him. All I was doing was running my race. All I was doing was trying to stay faithful to God. And God does great things for those who'll stay faithful to him." You know what you need to do? You need to stay faithful to the race. Run the race. Run the race that's set before you. Run the race if you're in a little Sunday school class and you're trying to help your students. Run the race. If you're serving the Lord down on the job and if you're the only one there that's saved, just remember, run your race. It's going to be important one of these days that you ran the race that God put before you. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed.